Why This Movie, a podcast about the movies we love and why we love them. My name is Christopher Allen Maloney. Today I'm speaking with Joe Reeves, a Las Vegas-based visual artist, about his favorite movie, The Jerk, starring Steve Martin.
Would you welcome, please, Steve Martin.
Well, thank you very much. Got a lot of people here. How many people are here tonight? Just out of curiosity, raise them up. Okay, well, we're going to... One other question before we start. How many people do not enjoy raising their hand? This is just a curious thing for me. If you do not enjoy it.
By the late 70s, Steve Martin had turned the world of stand-up comedy on its head. He was selling out large arenas and had become a cultural phenomenon. So when he abruptly quit doing stand-up, it was something of a shock. But he had something else he wanted to do. Movies. He was ready to begin a film career. The Jerk, written by and starring Steve Martin, would be the first move in the next step of his professional life.
In the history of motion pictures, only a select few performers have become immortalized by the roles they have portrayed. Consider the Vamp, the Champ, the Tramp, and now the most perfect casting of all, Steve Martin, the Jerk.
It was never easy for me. I was born a poor black child.
Meet Navin Johnson. He's poor.
You mean I'm gonna stay this color?
And he's eager.
This is the kind of music that tells me to go out there and be somebody!
But Navin...
Let him go.
Traveling down that lonely road, seeking fortune.
Actual live weight guessing. Take a chance and win something.
Finding fame.
The new phone book's here! The new phone book's here!
Johnson, Navin R. Sounds like a typical...
And learning about love from a perfect master. Making new friends...
Die, milkmaid!
...with an instinctive flair.
He hates these cans! Stay away from the cans!
Steve Martin plays an affable moron who is surprised to learn that the household of black sharecroppers who have raised him are not his biological family. Resolved to strike out on his own and make something of himself, he adopts a dog called Shithead and causes a false alarm fire drill in a motel before getting a job as a gas station attendant and accidentally destroying a church in his travels. He also becomes the random target of an assassination plot before unwittingly inventing an eyeglass adaptation device that leads to great fame and fortune.
Sir!
Guess what?
I fixed him. Guy's back there thinking, what causes glasses to slip on and off? And it's because when you take them on and off, you're always putting pressure on the frames like this. It causes them to spread. So I put a little handle right here in the center, and it puts the pressure on the bridge where it belongs, just like the tie rods on a 72 Buick. Plus, I put a little nose brake on them here to prevent slippage. Try it. Use the handle. Well, I'll be. It works.
Ha! You know, I make a pretty good living selling shit like this.
I'll tell you why.
If I can develop this gizmo, I'll split with you 50-50.
Okay.
He also finds time to meet and fall for Marie Kemble, played by Bernadette Peters.
I know we've only known each other for 4 weeks and 3 days, but to me, it seems like 9 weeks and 5 days. The first day seemed like a week, and the second day seemed like 5 days, and the third day seemed like a week again, and the fourth day seemed like 8 days. The fifth day, you went to see your mother, and that seemed just like a day. But then you came back, and later, on the sixth day in the evening when we saw each other, that started seeming like 2 days. So in the evening, it seemed like 2 days spilling over into the next day, and that started seeming like 4 days. So at the end of the sixth day, on into the seventh day, it seemed like a total of 5 days. And the sixth day seemed like a week and a half.
The Jerk was a critical and financial hit upon its release. It can be found on the American Film Institute's 100 Years, 100 Laughs, and Total Film's list of greatest movie comedies.
This movie is just always resonated with me. Just a guy who's kind of along for the ride in life, and it really took him some wild and crazy places, if you will. It's always made me laugh. It's always, no matter what's going on, I watch that movie and I'm brought back to happy, to peace.
Did you grow up with it?
I saw it on TV for the first time when I was like, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 years old, and just watching TV and happened upon it. And I mean, just what a insane dose of slapstick comedy to somebody at a young age, and just very shticky kind of stuff. And I just immediately fell in love with all the gags in it. The dog, you know, which on the TV airing, the man suggested he name him Stupid. And then right. A couple of years later, when I saw the uncensored version, I was like, ah,
that's not the dog's funnier. Name. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah.
It's funny the different things that I didn't realize what the actual dialogue was in certain movies, because like you said, I started out seeing them like on TNT or the Superstation or something.
Sure. Yeah.
I guess The Jerk isn't that bad as far as like profanity and such, but movies like The Big Lebowski or
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like I saw Fargo for the first time on TNT.
Oh. And
so much of Steve Buscemi's dialogue was,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Like it was dubbed over with a lot less offensive words, but I guess, yeah, changing shithead to stupid was probably the only like major change in the movie.
There is a couple of very racially insensitive terms right before the Iron Balls McGinty gag. They drop a couple of slurs in reference to some people, and Steve Martin takes offense because of the wonderful family that he has. And so that was the big one there. And then I believe the little kid with the bullshit on it, with his shirt says bullshit, the one that steals the train. Bernadette Peters, also another reason I love that movie. Steve Martin gets you know, he's got all the famous quotes and everything like that, but Bernadette Peters, her timing and just her playing the not necessarily straight man, but the kind of just aloof person who's just caught in that flow. She was brilliant in that movie.
Yeah. That scene, there's like a really tender scene between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's when they're
ukulele.
Steve Martin was like proudest of that moment in the movie. But mm-hmm. then when he saw it with an audience for the first time, that was the part when everyone got up to use the bathroom or get popcorn. Like they weren't interested in like the slower, more tender moments.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of saw that as like a time to take a break. But I agree with you. That is one of my favorite moments in that whole movie. And just because it, like, to your point, it's just tender. It's beautiful. It's a very human human moment between the two people in the middle of just a bunch of chaos and nonsense, really.
So when you saw it when you were a kid, and you were probably, you thought it was funny because of how, like,
sure.
slapsticky it is and how kind of broad it is. Yet, it's like, it's a movie that's been critically kind of embraced. And Steve Martin's performance specifically has been cited as one of the best comedic performances of all time. What do you think it is about something that's so silly and relies on like physical humor? How does it go from that into being like something that's respected and revered?
I would say because there's more than just the physical comedy aspect of it going on. There's a lot of very subtle humor in there too. One of my favorite gags in the whole movie is when Steve Martin is trying to hitchhike away from home, and that driver pulls up to him and says, "St. Louis?" And he says, "No, Maven R. Johnson." Just those kind of things that you don't even notice until the third or fourth time maybe you've watched a movie, where they're just, it's so subtle. So there's a lot of brilliant physical comedy that goes on in that, a lot of absurd comedy too, but then a lot of very, very snarky, kind of just hidden in the mix jokes. And I think it's enough to appeal to a broad array of people that, you know, might find one thing funnier than the other. They've still got something in that movie.
So like, you can watch it as a kid and like it for one reason, but then watch it as an adult and like it for a different reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as an adult for me watching it versus as a kid is the warmth that he has in his family and the love that his parents have for him and the pride in them as well. You know, when he, every time that they get a letter from home, they all crowd around. And
I think next week I'll be able to send more money, as I may have extra work. My friend Patty promised me a blowjob. Your loving son, Maven. And he's got the kisses here.
That Patty must be a sweet girl.
God bless her.
You know, they made him his special lunch or dinner on his birthday, a turkey on white with a Twinkie and a Tab Cola, and very supportive and very kind and very caring family. And, you know, part of me as an adult is looking at that and just being like, man, why would you leave that behind? Like, I get going and traveling and doing your future. And, you know, in the end, everything ended up working out great for everyone. But I was just like, man, like some days I would kill for that. And I don't know, man, it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. There are jokes that kind of rely on stereotypes to a certain extent. I mean,
for like, sure.
He has been raised by this family of black sharecroppers, and he is obviously a very white man. How do you think it manages to play into stereotypes without like denigrating anybody?
I don't feel as though I don't feel like there's any malice behind any of it. It's not coming from a place of hate. And each side, you know, everybody that's noted in that movie ends up taking the piss. But, you know, it kind of shows the stereotypes, but the beauty of it too, where, you know, Steve Martin's character, he can't get the rhythm of the music, and he doesn't understand the lifestyle. And, you know, according to what they say, he doesn't care for the food, but then he's at night, he starts hearing the like Lawrence Welk style music or whatever. I can't remember what song it is exactly that's playing, but it's very very Caucasian, and he's got the rhythm, and he's like, if this is out there, imagine what else is out there. And yeah, and I think it also I don't know, man, I just can't get past the point, the thinking of the quote of the, you mean I'm going to stay this color? And he's crying to his mother on his birthday.
So Steve Martin is famously a very intelligent man.
Yes.
He's known for he has like one of the largest private art collections in the world. He's an accomplished musician and writer. How do you does it ever baffle or confound you that someone like Steve Martin could write this and play it when he's essentially playing like an idiot?
No, not at all. I think that he's probably smart enough that he's noticed these qualities in people that would be considered idiots or the jerk, if you will, that he's noticed the qualities that so many of them have and then found a way to string them together but make them charming in the same way. I think that his intelligence probably helps him in that regard, and not to mention his creativity and all of that. But yeah, I don't think that it's something that just anybody could do. And the sequel to that movie, the sequel to The Jerk, really proves that point.
What's the? I don't
You've
know
ever
about
seen that.
No, what's the sequel?
Oh yeah, it's The Jerk 2, spelled T-O-O.
it's very clever.
yeah, very clever title. I watched it once and I just wasn't feeling it. And it
who's in it?
I can't even tell you. I don't remember. I'd have to look it up right now. But yeah, it came out in the mid 80s, I want to say. Maybe like in the first half of the 80s towards the mid, but yeah.
Oh, okay. So The Jerk 2 is a television movie.
Oh, it was a television movie.
Okay. Yeah. It looks like maybe Mama and Papa Johnson returned. But other than that...
Yeah, I think I remember them being in that.
Okay, so there's someone else playing Naven Johnson. Mark Blankfield.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man, that's what a horrible idea.
Naven, you're a soft-hearted guy, and the world can be cruel. But no matter what anyone says, you're nobody's fool. Naven, if you're good in your heart and you're true to your friends, then no matter what may go wrong, it works out in the end. Maybe you'll make a million, and maybe you'll find your true. Whatever you do, I'm rooting for you. 'Cause there's something of me in you, and I hope all your dreams will come true. And no matter whatever you do, just keep being you. Just keep being you. Just keep being Naven.
I said, I remember seeing it once quite a while ago and was just like, I'm just going to pretend like that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, The Jerk 2. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about that. I read that Steve Martin was kind of wanting to go for something like Dostoevsky's, I think it's called The Idiot.
Yes.
So what do you think... Is there a message behind this movie? Are there like underlying themes besides the good time? If so, what are they?
I think the underlying themes of this movie would probably be a mixture of like just what happens when you kind of just go with the flow of life. And Have you ever heard the thing about the people talking about the title of the movie, whether it refers to him or the situation?
No.
Oh, so there's a big conversation had amongst people that love this movie that is The Jerk being the title, is that referencing Steve Martin, who is a jerk, or is it referencing the situations where life is just jerking him from one place to another? And I've always kind of found that to be something to think on myself is like, well, you know, I feel like it's somewhere in the middle, possibly even both, because he even refers to himself as a jerk in the movie at least once. And so it's just kind of, for me, it's like watching somebody just give in to life and just be like, all right, where is it going to take me? I'm going to set out on my own. I'm going to leave what's comfortable, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to see the world and see what I can find. And then just letting what happens happen. And I find a real romanticism in that.
Mm-hmm. Do you see life that way?
You know, I try. I definitely like to let myself go in the situation and kind of just go where the flow takes me. Instead of trying to fight for certain things or hold on to things that may not be, you know, making me happy or whatever, and just kind of see where it takes me. And so maybe this movie speaks to me in that level, in that regard too.
So there's like a wisdom to the jerk character.
Yeah. I guess you could say that, which is a kind of a beautiful irony.
Yeah, I remember someone who graduated high school a few years ahead of me. We had the yearbook of the upperclassmen, and her quote was, "Only dead fish go with the flow." Mm-hmm. And I wonder about that. I think about that sometimes.
Yeah.
But then it does seem like some people who have kind of embraced the idea of going with the flow,
mm-hmm,
do have like kind of a peaceful existence and like a centeredness that I kind of envy. So I think that's something I'm trying to personally figure out for myself, like where I land on that. If I should be inciting things and directing things, or just kind of seeing where I get blown around like a feather.
Sure. I get that. I mean, we're all different. We're all wired different. And I mean, I hear a term like only dead fish go with the flow. And I see that as like somebody who really wants to try to control things, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. I think that a healthy dose of going with the flow and a healthy dose of controlling things is good, but you just have to keep in mind that there are things you can control and things you can't control. And, you know, getting upset and kicking iron balls McGinty in the iron balls and hurting your foot, even though he greatly deserved it in that scene. You know, you can control that. He could have not hurt his foot, but, you know, then other certain things, the guy taking shots at him and all that, he had no control in that. He just did the best he could and got out of Dodge. But
what do you think the jerk says about the idea of family?
I think that it really showcases that there's, if you have a good, loving support system, you can always go back to it. Because he always knew that his family was back there. He could go back to that life at any moment. But he kept pushing forward and kept going on and on and seeing what life brought him. And, you know, after the invention of the Optigrab, it brought him fame and fortune. And then, you know, the spoiler alerts on anybody that hasn't seen the film, but he, you know, by the end, when he ended up bankrupt because everybody went cross-eyed, he went back home, back to his family, and had found a whole new way of life, and they had upgraded their lives, and, you know, everybody was for the better.
Did you know this was one of Stanley Kubrick's favorite movies?
Yeah, which I've found kind of interesting about that, because you look at his body of work and it, there's nothing in there that you could say like,
nope, nothing at all.
He loved The Jerk. Absolutely not a single thing.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I guess you don't have to emulate something to appreciate it, but
yeah, I think even like
I would have liked to have sat down and talked to him about it.
I know, right? Yeah, even like super intense creative geniuses have like a silly side.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have to. Mm-hmm. Imagine being stuck in like that mode all the time. You'd, yeah. Yeah, I think having some kind of silly outlet would be important.
Thank you for this conversation. Yeah, I've actually only seen The Jerk once, so it makes me want to. I'm kind of going by memory on this, but I need to go back and watch it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean it's one of those movies that it, if you've seen it once, you've definitely seen it. But it's got its perks to watching over again too. And for anybody that hasn't seen it recently or hasn't ever seen it, I would highly recommend it just for a, if for nothing else, a quick brain break from everything.
Yeah, brain breaks are important.
Yes, they are.
Thank you for listening to Why This Movie. If you have a movie that you love that you'd like to talk about, email me at christopherallenmaloney@gmail.com, and you may be featured on an upcoming show.